BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place all your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast. I am Megan Robinson, joined by Justin Southwell. And filling in for an absent Eve Petoba, we have Cody Stovall with us today, the host of the Locked On Oklahoma State podcast. Could not ask for a better guest host for our one-year anniversary episode. Cody, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm greatly appreciative of the invite. I love what you guys do. Trying to get more coverage for Oklahoma State University. It's very, very important. And you guys are awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But Tobe always brings that energy, but Cody kind of brings it to the next level. So if we're going to replace anybody with Petoba for a week, I'm glad it's Cody.
Yes. I do what I can. I do what I can.
Evil. Hopefully he should be back next week. Don't worry. He's not, this is not permanent, but Cody, you are welcome back anytime. I know we haven't even done a show yet, but you are always welcome on our podcast. Obviously week one of football. Before we get to the Oklahoma State week one preview, Cody, I want to know a little bit about you because you host this daily podcast. How did you become such a passionate Oklahoma State fan?
To be honest with you, it started when I was a kid, right? Whenever you were a kid and an Oklahoma State fan, I used to cover my walls with all of like the newspaper clippings legitimately, right? That was the same thing as a poster to me. And throughout that process as a kid, whenever you'd listen to radio shows or you'd dig in the newspapers to find Oklahoma State coverage, you had to flip through pages of Oklahoma University bull crap before you could get some Oklahoma State stuff, right? So it was always a frustration. And the better we got, right, from 2011 and on, I always thought, okay, we're getting better. We're going to get more national coverage. We're getting better. And you know what I mean? I never understood the fact that you'd have to sift through all the bull crap at OU to get O-State news from, you ready for this one? Oklahoma State people. Hearing people like, Al Eschbach, that's one thing. But to hear Jim Traber, who was a Cowboy, talked so bad about us for such a small amount of time. And it's not like Pat Jones has glowing things to say all the time either. And it made me want to throat punch people. So I always vowed that if there was something I could ever do to potentially help with some of the coverage, I was going to do that because I am very passionate. I've been this way since I was a little kid. I'm obsessed with statistics. Instead of yelling at the TV, I got an opportunity to yell in front of a camera and behind a microphone, and it's worked out pretty well thus far.
How hard is it to find storylines 365 days a year?
It's actually not that difficult, realistically speaking. So like a day in the life type of thing, you read the OKState.com stuff, O-State Illustrated, Pistols Firing, obviously Polk's Report. You watch all of the interviews. And then you watch the highlight clips of some of the high school kids and some of the clips that you got from 7-on-7 camps, and you piece it all together, and you're always going to have storylines, right? You know what I mean? There's 22 guys that start on the field. We're in a unique position where we finally have some depth. So that helps, right? It'd be one thing if we only went one deep everywhere. With all due respect, I would hate to cover Houston until Houston has a two deep that can compete. I don't see how it can be a lot of fun, but this season is going to be fun. Mike Gundy typically does respond when his back's against the wall. Last season was a letdown, right? There's nobody on God's purple earth that can say we didn't fail last year, right? We failed straight on our face. This is a redemption year, but we don't go too deep at every position very often. So this is also a capitalization year, in my opinion.
When was the last time where are you based, first of all?
Well, I currently live in Colorado Springs. I got some VA disability crap going on, but as soon as I'm done and the boys I'm coaching are out of high school, I'm hightailing it back to Stillwater real quick, fast, and in a hurry.
When was the last time you were here?
Just a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Oh, okay. So you, you, yeah. back? Are you planning on coming to any games? Do you have any?
Should be at every single game from homecoming on. The first half of the season, I'm kind of stuck. So I coach some private lessons, both wide receiver and pitcher. So I'm pretty tied up at the moment with some of those high school kids that we have. But as soon as the season's over and it starts to kind of taper down and it gets cold, that helps too. You'll be seeing my big, tall, bearded self in Stillwater quite a bit.
Awesome. Nice. We'll have you over at the tailgate. Crash it.
I'm excited, man.
Can't wait. Love it. Love it. Well, Cody, could talk about you, but it is a week one. Football is back. Well, football was back last week, and if you are Notre Dame, maybe USC fan, but we here are Oklahoma State fans, which means our football season starts on Saturday. Absolutely cannot wait. Facing Central Arkansas, Cowboys are on an active streak of 27 straight wins in home openers, the longest in program history and the second longest streak, active streak in college football. This is only the second matchup between Central Arkansas and OSU. And of course, the Cowboys won the first matchup in 2015, 32-8.
Meg, I gotta say, I actually did kind of a deep dive into our, like, you know, active home opener streak, and I found some interesting stuff. So you have to go all the way back to 1995 before we suffered a loss, and that was to Nebraska. You guys remember in the 90s, Nebraska pretty good. We lost 64-21. It sounds bad, and it is bad, but you got to remember they went on to go undefeated for that year, beating opponents by an average of 53-14, and they ended up winning the national championship, beating number two ranked Florida 62-24. So from start to finish, they were whooping tail, and you know, it is what it is. Now, Florida, they have the active longest win streak. A lot of their opponents are pretty similar to what you've seen on Oklahoma State's, you know, home openers, but throw in a few like pretty good opponents in there. You know, Georgia in 2009. I mean, we kept the streak alive during the midst of that. So, you know, power to Oklahoma State for keeping that alive. And I fully expect for that number to continue to rise.
What hurts my soul about that fact, Justin, is that not a single player on our team was alive the last time we lost a home opener.
Maybe that's a good thing. Hey,
you think 27 and you forget that that's okay. That has to go back 27 years, you know? And then you're like, oh God, not a single person on this squad was alive or even a thought in their parents' mind at that point.
Pretty wild.
What a time. Well, Cody, the Gundy has said that he plans to play multiple quarterbacks. We've talked about it in previous episodes about the quarterback situation. You were talking before we started rolling that you grew up or you're familiar with Rangel, you're a fan of his. What do you think about this quarterback situation heading into week one?
I think it's amazing, right? We've heard for so long that, if you know, the concept of if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. Well, I think if you're somebody saying that now, you're probably part of the get off my lawn crowd, because it has been proven that it can be done. And how many playoff runs have we seen, both in college football and in the NFL, that a backup quarterback plays an integral role in that team's success, right? It's almost inevitable that the backup's going to play, even if it's only for a few snaps, a few series, a few games, you know what I mean? Today's game of football, everybody's bigger, faster, stronger. That's what it is. Now, our offensive line and the 2D being what it is, probably the best since Wick line, at least since 2017, that's going to help. But I do think this is a good thing, and I do think that it's legitimate. This isn't a coach speak, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want a new starter. There's a razor-thin differentiation between the two. And, guys, deep into the season, Garrett Rangel and Gunnar Gundy are going to have most likely some packages. Definitely Gunnar Gundy. He's going to have some goal line type of situations. He's going to have some naked bootleg plays that are designed. When somebody shows up running a 5-flat 40 and 2 years later they're running under a 4.6, you got to let him cook. You got to let him go. If his last name was Gundy, even better. I'm so ready for it.
Yeah, I think that there are, you know, a lot of people would get kind of bent out of shape hearing that we're going to play two quarterbacks. And I mean, maybe some of that's warranted. I I don't know. I'm more with you, Cody. Like, I think that there are more pros than cons in this situation because, you know, you've got to be able to develop the backups. I mean, the better prepared they are for in the event that they have to step up and be the guy, there's nothing like game reps. So you have to get them in early and often. And especially because of the injury history of Bowman. Like, it just, it makes sense. You want to be able to obviously keep him healthy all year, but history says that's not going to be the case. So develop those backups. You do have the aspect of injury risk management. So the starter can hopefully, you know, hopefully he stays healthy because he's not taking every single snap on the offensive side of the ball. And I also believe that one of the benefits of this is going to be the competition between the quarterbacks to kind of help elevate each other's game. You have that aspect of, you know, your other quarterbacks on the sideline cheering for you. And that's a big deal. So that'll help boost up confidence, I think, too. Whoever the backups, however often they get in, it's going to be good. It's a good feeling to know that, yeah, the starter over there, he's cheering for you. He's got your back.
I agree that I think why not let them play the first few games, get game reps. Obviously, they've been going against their starting defenders all camp, but going against your own team is very different from going in a game rep. So I think it is good to get them out there, get that experience, see who shines. That being said, at what point does Coach Gundy need to make a decision and name a starter in order to have success on offense?
I'd say by Iowa State.
Yeah, conference play makes the most sense to me, and especially since we're going to be opening on the road. Like, having a starter on the road is way more important than, you know, maybe we'll play somebody here at home. Like, it's a completely different environment. You need to be able to have a leader at that point, an established leader, and know for sure, like, this is our guy.
We will see how it all shakes out. I'm excited to see the growth of Rangel. Obviously, we saw him last season, looked a little shaky, which you can't blame him. Spencer, no one saw the season going the way it did with Spencer Sanders, injuries, not playing basically the second half of the season. So I did feel for Rangel because I don't think he even thought that he was going to get as many snaps as he did. And the fact that he is a contender now for a starting job and Gundy, it's too close to call, that shows a lot of growth in him. So I am excited to see that. I'm also excited to see our running backs. Gundy has been very vocal this summer about an increase in the run game on the offense. Cody, you are nodding your head in agreement. We got Elijah Collins, Jaden Nixon, Ollie Gordon, three-headed monster back there. How do you anticipate these snaps being distributed amongst our backs?
I do think it'll be kind of even, right? Because they offer different things. Ollie clearly is more of the Thunder package, but he does have a little bit of elusivity, right? He can make some people miss here and there. Then you have Jaden Nixon, which is the constant home run threat. And then Elijah Collins is a mixture of both. And then realistically, behind him, we've had some pretty good competition between Ceci Vlahe and a couple of the walk-ons as well have been getting some playing time. I fully expect, I've already made several bets, and I'll keep it going if I have to. We will average over 4.5 yards a carry. We will rush for over 2,500 yards. Will it look like 2018 and run for 5.3 yards a carry? Probably not. But I do think it could definitely look like 2021 at 4.8 yards a carry. I firmly, firmly believe that simply because our ability to rotate. I do think they'll rotate quite a bit. But let's be honest, if Elijah Collins hadn't been on the bike instead of the field for a week and a half, he might be ahead of Ollie right now, realistically speaking. But Ollie is the guy we're rolling with. I cannot wait for people to see the growth of Elijah Collins. You guys remember when Jaylen Warren said that when he was going through the draft process, what Oklahoma State offered him is what he always lacked at Utah State, which is speed. He never had get away from the cop speed. You learn that at Oklahoma State, right? That's part of the Rob Glass system. And when he was able to develop that, put him in the NFL, now he's competing for a starting job in the NFL. Elijah Collins is the same thing. He came to Oklahoma State. He didn't have a lot to fix because the dude just rushed for 988 yards. Okay? But what he needed to fix, he feels like he got it. This is a Jaylen Warren-esque situation. And it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, any running backs out there that are contemplating the transfer portal, if you're paying attention, Oklahoma State's where you need to be. I mean, developing the running backs, we've got guys that are going to the league consistently. It's not exactly running back you of yesteryear, but we're up there in terms of, here's a guy that, you know, where did Jalen Warren come from? Utah State?
Utah State, yeah.
Utah State. Comes to Oklahoma State, and now he's competing not necessarily for a starting spot with the Steelers.
Oh yeah, but, he is?
I mean, he is, but it's clear it's Najee Harris. But I mean, yeah. Najee Harris is the Alabama running back. Like, this is the level we're talking about. And it is, I mean, a lot thinner of a margin, like Cody, you know. I mean, it's a very thin margin. I mean, this is a guy that I'm probably going to get late in draft on fantasy football night, right, Meg? Like, this is somebody you want to pick up because he has the chance to win your league. Like, this is the kind of development we're talking about as a running back at Oklahoma State. Elijah Collins, I'm glad you're here. I hope you get a time to shine. And as far as that goes, Ollie Gordon, you're going to get your time, and Jaden Nixon, you're going to get yours. So, plenty of games this season, plenty of opportunity for all these guys to make a big impact. And I'm excited for it.
Yes. And I did draft Jalen Warren last night. He was my last pick, my fantasy football team. And I hope that he makes himself a starter on my squad. So let's go, Jalen Warren. One thing I want to say too, Justin, you mentioned RBU, you know, of yesteryear. Although before we started rolling, I was telling Justin and Cody how I interviewed Tatum Bell earlier today, a incredible back here at Oklahoma State. And I asked him, I said, where would you rank yourself amongst the OSU running backs to come through Stillwater? And he put himself at 5. And when you take a second to step back and look at the running backs that have come through here, you got Barry Sanders, enough said. You have Kirby Thomas. You have, he had Chuba 3rd, Kendall 4th. He put himself 5th. But you also, he's putting himself above Terry Miller, who, by the way, is in the Ring of Honor in BPS. So I honestly, you know, before I came to Oklahoma State, when I thought running backs, I thought Alabama. You know, you look at that, you have Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, like Bo Scarborough was great in college, Eddie Lacy.
Robinson.
Derrick Henry.
Yes, like you have incredible running backs. But then you take a step back, like, wait a second, OSU, you are in the mix. You have incredible running backs. And I think, you know, then you add Jalen Warren to that list. And I think Ollie Gordon, he showed flashes of greatness is a strong word, but in that West Virginia game, rushing for 136 yards in terrible conditions, mind you, at the end of a season, mm-hmm. that is a complete disaster. Like, good for you, Ollie. And if that's a glimpse of what we can see him accomplish this year, I'm just so excited to see those guys run behind a healthy offensive line.
Well, speaking of that, Megan, hey, Justin, why did we watch Ollie Gordon rush for like 60 yards on 4 plays and then start throwing the ball in the middle of nowhere when it's peeing down rain? What was that, bro? What happened there?
You know, that's Coach Dunn trying to mix it up, I think. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I wasn't in the booth. I was actually, because of the weather, there weren't a lot of people there. I was actually around the 50-yard line, probably about 10 rows up from the West Virginia sideline.
Well, you need to be better at screaming at them to be better, all right?
That's my bad. That's my, you know. Hey. Actually, what's kind of crazy, it was pouring down rain. I get there early. The paddle people were pretty much the only ones in the stadium at the time. So I tried. You know, it's kind of like been a dream of mine. I'd love to be able to be a paddle person for one game. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
They turned me down. Like, I'm just not part of it. I wasn't part of it. So I was very disappointed that I wasn't able to be a paddle person. But hey, if there's like a make-a-wish type of situation out there for me later on, let me know, guys. I mean, I'd love to be one. But the person, whoever, like, they stood strong. They said no. I had to respect it. Had to move on. But I did still get pretty good seats, like I mentioned, at the 50-yard line. So. But that game, man, I was actually talking about this on Twitter not too long ago. That loss really hurts because it ruined our active home win streak. We'd be right up there with some of the top top teams in the country. Mm-hmm. But hey, let's start a new streak. It's all good. Keep it going.
I think the paddle people have very strict rules, and one of them is they camp out the night before to make sure that they can like secure their wristband or whatever to get in and get their spots in the student section. So Justin, that might be part of it, that if you don't camp out the night before, you don't get to be a paddle person in that game. So investigate that. Come up to Stillwater on a Friday.
I'll bring my own paddle next time. I should have known to bring my own paddle. But
I've never seen somebody try to replicate Pistol Pete in the stands, like the full get up. I've never seen somebody try to replicate the Pistol Pete outfit.
That with the head and everything?
Heck yeah.
That's a big deal.
You know what, Cody? You could be
Isn't it just like some gangster level paper mache?
That thing is like 35 pounds.
Are you trying to say that I can't handle 35 pounds?
No, Megan, I'm not saying that.
Hey, Megan, I am swole over
it's
here.
It's not
all
some like just paper mache. Like that thing is hefty.
You'd be like
now she's calling me hefty, Justin. Look at that.
You'd be like the Pistol Pete. Like you'd be in the stands, right? You got kids swarming you, trying to like get a picture and stuff. You're over here like stiff arming them, like I'm trying to watch the game.
Well, you have a couple months until you come here, so you just pack that in your carry on when you travel out after homecoming for the game.
Got it. I got it.
One more position group to talk about on the offense. That is the wide receiver. Obviously, the big name returning is Brennan Presley. Also coming back, we have Blaine Green out there and Jaden Bray, both back from injury. Blaine Green, I saw him on Friday night. He's just excited to get back out on the field. I think that that's just how he's feeling. Like last year was terrible for him to sit, have to watch from the sideline, literally driving himself to away games. He is ready to get out there, ready to ball. Who are you guys most excited to see play in this wide receiver group?
Well, for me, big receiver guy, obviously. I'm going to have to say Talon Shetron, because I think the upside for him everything I've heard just sounds so good, and that he's young, but he's just a threat, you know? And I love the fact that he's from Edmond Santa Fe. We got the Oklahoma connection there. So, man, I'm really excited for all the receivers. Like I said, big receiver guy. But if I had to pick one, I guess it'd be him. Love me some Jaden Bray, obviously. But hey, like I said, man, you can't go switching number 85. I mean, that's a little disrespectful in my opinion. But hey, no harm, no foul. We got it. We still got it on the roster, so it's all good. I don't know if he'll get in because, just a true freshman, but hey, number 85, Tyke Andrews, I'm going to be watching you too. So make me proud.
You know, Tyke Andrews and Jaden Pope have actually been making some moves as far as freshmen go. They're getting some PT. Kale Cabanis is obviously a cool story, so it's going to be fun watching him get some receptions this year. Rashad Owens is always waited in the background, right? He's like that Swiss Army knife that we can literally throw anywhere, even tight end, if need be. But I really think if I can squeeze this in here, Megan, what I think is going to make the biggest difference is the tight end position this year.
Yes, don't give me hope, Cody. Don't give
Go
me hope.
Mark it down. Write it down. Take it to the bank. I really feel like our tight end position will do more this year than we did with Blake Jarwin.
Ooh. Why?
Because Josiah Johnson is an absolute freak. He is a freak of nature. He went to UMass to play quarterback. He had other opportunities to also play quarterback. And then he just kept growing, got too big, decided to shift to the tight end position. Whenever he got here, his routes were very loopy, very lazy. Justin might know a thing or three about running a route.
Not any loopy routes. I don't know anything about
that. His routes were pretty lazy, so he thought maybe he was going to be a blocking type of guy. But he gets it. If the defense is in zone, they are absolutely screwed because he doesn't view things like a tight end. He doesn't view things like an offensive lineman. He views things like a quarterback. So he knows exactly where to settle down in zone defenses, and he also knows exactly what his quarterbacks are looking for. And the beauty of Josiah Johnson is he can do it with multiple quarterbacks. That's why I think he's going to be the biggest factor here.
All right, I'm sold. Where do I
stand? You know what? I support it. Honestly, this is going to sound terrible. Sometimes I forget that tight ends are a position at Oklahoma State, because they're called cowboy backs, or they've been called called cowboy backs until this year. And they are not used the way that we see them used in other programs. So right. yes, I'm very much aware that tight end is a football position, but they're just not something that's talked about at Oklahoma State. So thank you, Cody, for calling me out and bringing this tight end to this conversation.
Hey, it wasn't calling. I was just trying to squeeze it in there. From a wide receiver perspective, though, I will say somebody that I think is going to be a phenomenal is going to be Leon Johnson. But I do think he has a redshirt season available. If he can strengthen his hands a little bit and perfect his routes a little bit more, he's going to be a massive weapon. But because of Talon Shetron, because of Jaden Bray, because of Rashad Owens, we're not necessarily going to need Leon this year, in my opinion.
I'm Cody, excited. You mentioned it's Josiah Johnson, right?
Yeah.
So he's 6'5".
Yeah.
He's wearing number 16.
Yep.
Interesting.
If you're a tight end wearing number 16.
235, and he runs a 4.6.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I'm excited, y'all. I'm very, very, very excited about Josiah Johnson.
You just made me excited. You just made me excited. Am I about to get a Josiah Johnson jersey? Is that going to happen right now? I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
100%.
Maybe.
Well, guys, and we have him for like 3 years.
That's amazing. Let's go.
Yes.
Let's go.
Use him now, though. Use him now.
I think that's the plan.
On the other side of the ball, the defensive side, we get our first look at Nardo's much anticipated 3-3-5 defense. I had the pleasure of speaking with Coach Nardo last week, and let me tell you, huge fan of Nardo. I love his coaching style. I love his approach. Big, big, big fan of Nardo. And I asked him, because I've been able to talk to some of the defensive players, and I've asked them what are the challenges of learning this defense. So it was fun to ask Nardo the flip side, what's the challenge of teaching a 3-3-5 scheme to players and coaches? And what he said to me was that you have to assume that everyone knows nothing when they, meaning the other defensive coaches, really know more football than he can imagine. He is very much aware that these coaches have more experience than he has, and they know the game better than he might ever understand it. But how can he teach them the terminology? How can Nardo teach the coaches the scheme the way he sees it, but with the terminology that the coaches have been using their whole career? And I just thought that was a really interesting approach, because he's like, they know the concept, but how can I teach it using words that they understand that I might not have used to understand? So that just, I just thought that was a very smart thing to say.
Justin, I'll tell you what, buddy. I think Brian Nardo might be Mike Gundy's best hire. Better than Knowles, better than Yurcich.
As of right now, I can't say, but I want to believe that. I like the way that everybody talks about him, the way that everybody seems to love him. I want nothing but that to yield like just the highest level of success. And I hope that he falls in love with Oklahoma State and Stillwater and decides that he wants to stay here.
Yeah.
And if he wants to be Gundy's successor, that's fine with me. So yeah, you know, you've got a lot to prove here in year one. But with the way that you've started, the first impression that you've made on fans, players, everybody else, I mean, guy is crushing it.
The recruiting, his recruiting on the defensive side of the ball.
Cody, we don't talk about recruiting at Oklahoma State.
So amazing, bro.
Justin, I will say, Coach Nardo loves Stillwater. His wife is from Kansas. They met when he was at Emporia State, so he is nice. Closer to his wife's family, so he earned brownie points with his mother-in-law. And obviously, he's only been here 8 months or so, but he's very happy here. So I think that he will stay as long as we have him, type of thing.
Well, and you can tell in interviews and the way that he talks, he's like a kid in a candy store, right? This is like his dream scenario. When you have a defensive back, a safety in Kendall Daniels, 6'4", 230, almost running a 4.4, that could play linebacker. Lyric Rawls, is 6 foot 200. He could play linebacker. Trey Rucker is 6 foot 212. He could play linebacker. We have safeties that run safety speed that are the same size as linebackers, and they hit like linebackers. And then we have somebody, we have a backup in Justin Wright, who is the perfect Dan Campbell, I'm going to go chew your kneecaps off type of guy. That and dude, him and Justin Kirkland work phenomenal together. But Nicholas Martin, he's got hands, buddy. You can't call him Skillet Hands or Skeletor. He's got hands as a linebacker. This defense is going to be the fastest defense we've probably ever put on the field in Stillwater, Oklahoma. And I'm not crazy. Okay, I might be crazy, but I've been attending games since like 1993. I understand where we've been. And like you said, Megan, when you talk to the guys in the locker room, they're the ones that are pumped. They're the ones that, not Arlen Bruce, but, you know, they're the ones that, if they could, would like to bet the house on Oklahoma State this season.
Gosh. Poor Arlen.
Well,
poor Arlen Bruce.
I don't feel bad for him. You made the decision, but we are not talking about him right now.
I'm sorry, Megan. Okay, this is about. I was trying to help you out with your ad in the beginning. All right, I'm Bet Online. I'm here for
That's
you.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank
Bet
you.
Bet Online, except for if you're a player, please don't. So, Cody, I think you're right though. Like as far as the defenses go, I mean, I'm trying to think back to some of our best defenses. You've always you got to look at 2021.
That's it. Because 2021, of how great they were. 1984, 1997.
2013. 2013 was sneaky good.
Nah.
And
I'm just kidding. I'm giving you
ours. I gotta give it to my guys in 2011. And I it's like not their fault that we scored so often, so quickly that they were on the field all the time, but they led the nation in turnovers and they were very bend but don't break. So but that's really like the only three that are really coming to mind.
Yeah.
So the fact that we have this kind of speed, I love that Nardo preaches, you know, violence, running around, making plays. And we need that. Obviously you got to play smart in this day and age. You can't go hitting people like you could back in 2011, but I love the fact that we're going to have that kind of speed. So that's nothing but good news.
Cody, you listed off all of these guys on the defense who can make an impact and a difference. And the top two that come to my mind are Kendall Daniels and Colin Oliver. But who do you think will be the X factor on this defense?
Ooh, how dare you? That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay. Yeah, other than those two, right? I think those are obviously
those two, obvious. If you think one of them.
Well, no, because that's
X Factor's a little sneakier.
They're both all Americans, right? So outside of those two, I do expect Lyric to have a massive season. I expect Trey Rucker to have a big season. You know what? I'll give you an up and comer. I think Deshaun Brown is an NFL almost ready product right here, right now. He's a redshirt freshman.
Ooh. Could we three-peat at Defensive Player of the Year in the Big 12?
He is good. He is really good. And he's behind Nathan Latu. And everyone's saying that the differentiation between Nathan last year and this year, it's like light years, right? And Cody Walters, he's been here forever. For Cody Walters to be able to hold off somebody like an Anthony Goodloe, it tells you the talent we have. And then right behind them, you have Deshaun Brown. Deshaun Brown will play. He showed up naturally. 6'3", 230 some odd pounds. He doesn't run like a defensive end. He's bigger than Colin Oliver. He's as fast as Colin Oliver. He's going to be a problem.
Cody, I'm surprised. I thought you were going to go with, I'll go ahead and take it. Just the layup X factor, in my opinion, Justin Kirkland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not many know about him right now, but you will.
Oh, yeah.
So be on the lookout for big number 97 out there.
Dude, and Colin Clay's gotten significantly better. Colin Clay's gotten really, really good because of Justin Kirkland. Like he's talked about it in an interview with the Pistols Firing. Him having to go up against Justin Kirkland before they put pads on in the spring, it made him, well, A, he hurt his toe doing it, so he missed 2 weeks. But in his 2 weeks off, he kind of found the ability to mentally understand a little bit more leverage-wise and how to use it. because of what Justin Kirkland does naturally. This season is bet the house.
Especially bet the over. Unless you're a player, then don't mess with betting. We're learning.
Baby steps.
I was going to say one more thing. Obviously, the X factor, you almost have to throw it to Xavier Benson. But, I mean, I just really need him to play like lights out, better than he did last year, and we'll be fine. You can be the X factor if you just do that. All right.
Well, guys, this defense is predicated upon one thing, and that's the military kiss method. You familiar with that one, Megan?
I am not.
Kiss method. Keep it simple, stupid, right?
Yes.
Every read that they have is it's one read and go. So it's like the same concept as of an RPO, but on the other side of the football. And when you have this much speed and you have this much athleticism and depth, you can have them make one read and instantaneously react off that. Read and react is what made 2021 so good, right? That's what Malcolm Rodriguez is an expert at, read and react, even with the Detroit Lions. He's better than their guys that have been there for a long time. So when you have people that are human torpedoes like Kendall Daniels and Trey Rucker and Lyric Rawls, and you know that they can play at 197,000 miles an hour because they got dudes behind them that are almost just as good, this is what the product is going to offer. It's going to be not as good as 2021, but I'd wager pretty daggone close, y'all. I really, really would.
Guys, keep talking about betting, and here is something interesting. I did not realize this until I was researching for this game. Last season, we only had 6 fumble recoveries. We were much better with our interception return for turnover ratio, but we only had 6 fumble recoveries. Are you guys taking the over or the under on that this year?
Man,
I'm going over. Yeah, 100% over.
I guess so. I'm trying to think like math. Do it. Do the math in your head. And I mean, how often does a fumble happen? How often can we get a recovery? But hopefully, over the span of 14, 15 games, then yeah, you get more than 6. So
it's gonna be over 6, y'all. Come on now.
I'm also taking the over, but I gotta ask the question. You know, that's why we have these friendly debates.
How dare you be good at your job, Megan? How dare you?
How dare I ask controversial. Guys, on paper, Oklahoma State should win this game. They are the better team. It's just, I think everyone expects them to win this game. However, after the 2022 season, no one really believes in us. Unlike us, our podcast, we believe in OK State, but a lot of people out there, we're one of the biggest question marks in college football. This should be a smooth win. What can we prove in this game, even with a victory? What can we prove to ourselves and to other college football fans with a victory on Saturday?
Oh, I'll go ahead then. It's going to set the precedence for how the season's going to be. I feel like that we're going to go out there and we're going to start throwing hands and punching people in the throat repeatedly from the very, very beginning. We're going to set the tone that this is how the season's going to go. If you're going to come to Stillwater, Oklahoma, you might win, maybe, but you're going to hate every daggone minute of it. Justin remembers the old school Markell Martin type of dudes. But, dude, we had a Markell Martin. We had a Lucian Antoine. Now we've got like 5 of them. This is going to be absolutely crazy. And, again, mark it down. Megan, a good over-under is, what's the over-under for how many targeting penalties Trey Rucker's going to have? Because that dude literally, he jumps over the line and he torpedoes people. He don't give 13 hoots. He's going to get calls, but we have depth. I'm okay with it. But if I were picking the over-under on how many times we have targeting penalties from just him, I'm going to say at least 2 over. I'm going to go over.
Got to play smart, man. Don't get thrown out. We need you. We need you.
Go for it, man.
What is I know we have depth. Yeah, we have the depth, but come on.
Les Miles says just let her rip, right? Mm-hmm. Let her rip.
Yeah. As much as I would love to see that, I don't think we're going to get a ton answered about this team from playing Central Arkansas. I think that we're probably going to be really conservative. I think we're probably going to try to run the clock. I think it'll be a very, you know, grinded out kind of game, nothing overly impressive. I don't think Casey Dunn is going to open the playbook at all. I don't think Nardo is going to do anything super crazy with a 3-3-5. And for that reason, I think a lot of fans are going to be going, "Oh, here we go." Like, I just bet $100 on the over, and you guys are, you know, now depends on what the final score will be, and we'll get to our predictions here in a few minutes. But as it goes for me, I just feel like right now, the fans, please just be patient. I know that you think we should throttle Central Arkansas like 84-0, but be realistic. Like, there are so many things that got different quarterbacks coming into the game. We've got timing. We've got different running backs. We've got our linemen trying to figure out a new running scheme. We've got receivers that are going to be, you know, all over the field trying to figure out even simple things like the hard count. On your defensive side of the ball, yes, you got people flying around, but it's not going to be perfect week one. So don't expect perfection. It's going to take time. And luckily we get a team like Central Arkansas where we get to kind of feel that out a little bit. But at the end of the day, we're going to get a win. We're going to take a deep breath and everything's going to be great. All right. So that's all I got to say for right now.
I think the Legion of Boone is going to show up and show out. It's going to be fun. And we should all be promoting that everybody needs to watch every minute of this game, because what the guys that you see in the second quarter, in the second half, are going to be more important than the guys you see starting for the future of Oklahoma State. Everyone wants to talk about how atrocious our recruiting numbers have been the last couple of years. And they have been. If you just go off the numerical values, they have been. So what does that equal on the field, right? When you have body by glass, the guys that are playing in the sec two deep, three deep, those are the ones that'll tell you the success of the season. Last year, we didn't go too deep at very many spots, right? And it showed. I think this year's going to be significantly different. We're going to throttle. And they have some guys. You know, Justin, they've got that David Walker guy, 6'2", 260-pound defensive tackle that's getting some love from NFL style of guys. Mm-hmm. Their secondary is very comparable to ours. They've got like four dudes that have been playing multiple years together. They've got 2 fifth-year seniors. Their linebackers are decent size, right? That Tamarion Johnson guy, 6'2", 230 pounds, playing linebacker at a smaller school. You don't always see that. Mm-hmm. Their quarterback's a veteran. He's been there for 5 years. Their coach has been there for multiple years. They return quite a bit. So there's going to be a few spots. Like, for instance, David Walker. He's going to test Cole Birmingham and Dalton Cooper. He could even go to the other side, and he could test, you know, Jake Springfield. And realistically speaking, they've got another 6'3", 240-pound defensive end, Logan Jessup. So they have a few guys that are legitimate potential NFL prospects that will give us a hard time. But overall, we should beat them down like a mama bear cub pretty easy.
Their quarterback also, Cody, Will McElvain, he finished 2022 with a QB rating of 143.7. So he's not, and hit through for almost 2,600 yards and is not afraid to throw the deep ball. So I think that that'll be fun to watch our secondary. Now, that being said, in Kendall Daniels and Corey Black, we trust that 3-3-5 defense. Enjoy throwing the deep ball against five DBs.
Go ahead.
Have at it.
That's you, not- you do you, boo boo.
Exactly. Well, Justin, should we get to your favorite segment? It is back. Absolutely. Uniform picks. This is Justin's time to shine. Uniform picks. Cody, what combo? Also, first time we're seeing our brand new uniforms in action. Yeah. What combo will we debut in on Saturday?
So they're brown and black. I'm gonna say orange top, white bottoms, white helmet.
So white, orange, white.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going black, orange, black.
Interesting. Well, I will say the last time that we played Central Arkansas in 2015, we wore black, black, gray with the Phantom Pete. I will say this though. It's going to be way too dang hot. All right. White, orange, white. keep it classic, keep it simple, stupid. All right. We're going to have to do, I would imagine the brand. Now, this is where it gets interesting because, like, I'm not going to be like do this probably every week, but what is the face mask going to look like? What about the helmet stripes? They have all kinds of different options to go with all that. So it's way too much. So I'm going to keep it with white, orange, white. But if I had to guess, you know, I mean, it's Central Arkansas. I feel like you just keep it simple, right? I mean, you can go back to very simple. Go back to all white, no stripes, white face mask. Keep it super clean. I would love it because that's the way that the pants are. But what we have seen in all of our like promos leading up to it, they've had the triple stripe on there with the center and it's black and they've got the black face mask. I don't think that looks as good whenever it's paired with orange and white. That's just me. We'll see how it goes. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they actually wore that helmet. So got to wear the brand though, right? Like,
that's what I think.
Got to wear the brand.
To debut your brand new uniforms, I think you got to go with the brand.
Yeah, it's not just like any other year where you can trot out with Pistol Pete on your helmet like that. Right. We've seen that in the past. Pete is prominent in a lot of the home Pete. Openers.
Yeah, but come on, Justin.
You got to go with the brand.
It's going to be Cowboys.
Establish the brand early on.
Script Cowboys?
What's up?
You think Script Cowboys? Or a-
Yeah, I think that's what the players prefer.
Fair, fair. I mean, Justin Williams has had this plan for months, so I'm so excited.
Nice.
To see. That's literally awesome. Had this plan since, I don't even know, like June. I forget when I talked to him, but it was like early June, I think. And he's like, oh, yeah, I have the season plan. He's like, now that could potentially change depending on if players say something or they play well in one combo, whatever. But he's pretty much been planned for several months now.
When we were talking about Brian Nardo being a kid in a candy store, could you imagine being him when those new jerseys came in?
Yeah. Literally every like, year, like all the,
I'll sleep in the locker room and protect these. No big deal.
Yeah, exactly. Like literally, I mean, people think Oregon when they think of all of the different combos and uniforms and the equipment and the shoes, everything that everybody gets. But Oklahoma State is literally right there, and to be honest, it looks a little bit better. So, hey.
Can't wait to see it. Well, guys, it is time for my favorite segment, Cody. We do picks with Bix. Bixby is my dog. He is my 105-pound puppers, who is the best boy. And he likes to pick games. So bear with me while we – how do I add this? Add to this.
Right.
Yay! He always eats both of them, but he picked the Cowboys. I'm gonna re-rack that because we didn't get to see the whole the cute intro. Yeah. Picks with Bix. Yay!
Yay!
So he is the best boy. Just
smart. He just learned some stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, we've been studying this off season. So Bixby picked the Cowboys. He did not have a very good record last year, but he didn't wait. But, you know, so he picked the Cowboys starting off strong. I am also going with the Pokes. I picked kind of a conservative score, guys. I'm going to go 48-17. I think that Gundy might pull our starters for the second half. And, you know, when you get those backups in, I don't expect this to be a shutout. It's still the learning curve, but 48-17. Pokes.
I like that. I mean, I'm kind of in the same realm. I don't really know about if we can get a touchdown every single time. I will probably see a field goal, but what I would like to see is score a touchdown every time. And for that, I think is also a very conservative score. We say that, but it's like not that big. 42-13. So pretty similar score to what you've got, Meg. But hey, if you guys go and win 84-0, I'm not going to be mad. So please just do that. It'd be
cool. I'm going to say 56-14.
All right.
All right.
And I'll also say all three backs. Oh, I don't know if I want to say that. At least two of the three backs will go over 100.
Okay. All right. Will
that'd be crazy if all three.
Will Corey Black get his first pick?
No.
No? Okay. Nope. Also completely fair. Yeah.
Hey. We should try to do some like, you know, player position you know, kind of predictions like that. But
like prop bets.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Not for the players, for
right.
not for players. Don't bet on it.
But yeah, well, Cody, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Believe in OK State podcast presented by Bet Online. You are welcome back anytime. Always, always welcome. And if you guys have not checked out Cody's podcast, the Locked on Oklahoma State podcast, be sure to find that. That's wherever you get your podcasts, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And it is on daily. So if you need your Oklahoma State fix, you know who to find. Find Cody. Again, thank you all for listening. Like, share, subscribe, follow, comment, rate, review, all the things. Week one is here, guys. We made it. Cannot wait to watch our Cowboys on Saturday. Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
God bless. Go Pokes.